We are continuing with the eighth day. I'm responding to questions asked, and so I'm adding this addendum on a few topics that folks have expressed interest in. First of all, they've asked about children. When do children come up in a resurrection? Are the children of the redeemed resurrected at the second coming, or are the children of the redeemed resurrected in the great resurrection of the eighth day? And we'll talk about conception in the kingdom. Are we going to continue to populate? The other question was about death. Will there be death in this eighth day kingdom? Now, the subject of animal sacrifice, that was covered in the teaching on the priesthood. And so if you would open that study, we talked a great deal about sacrifice in the coming kingdom. The last point that I want to review is about the new covenant. What's new about it? And I just want to show you a few references and suggest to you that the new covenant really is not realized, it's not fully realized until the eighth day. So let's continue with prophecies concerning children. We all know that Isaiah chapter 11 describes the calf and the young lion lying down together. And it says, a little child will lead them, implying the presence of children during this messianic kingdom. Verse 8 of chapter 11, the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. So the animals, including the snakes, are not going to be aggressive. They're not going to harm. And apparently they will be non-venomous. Another reference to the viper's den, it says the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den, implying he would not be bitten. Our kids can play with the snakes. I always actually loved snakes as a little kid. I remember in summer camp one year, I just had the greatest time holding I think it was a garter snake, but I always thought the snakes were so beautiful. So I can't wait till the kingdom when I can actually pick them up and they'll be just so tame. Okay, Isaiah 65 verse 20 says that no infant will die on the day he's born, so there'll be no infant mortality. Jeremiah 31 verse 8, in Jeremiah's prophecy of the return of Israel to the land, it says pregnant women and women in labor, they were seen among the Israelites gathered and brought back to the land. So the verse suggests that a redeemed woman who died pregnant will be raised with the child still in her womb, viable to be born into the kingdom of Messiah. Jeremiah 30, verse 18 to 20, behold, I'll bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be built on its own mound, and the palace shall remain according to its own plan. Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them, and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as before, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all those who oppress them. Their children shall be as before. Well, that could mean that their children will be resurrected and will be with them as before. Some folks say, well, it means that they will continue to reproduce as before. So let's think about that. Many faithful Israelites have lost infants and children over these last 6,000 years. And many have assumed, of course, our children will be resurrected at the second coming when we're resurrected. But I don't know. My feeling is that they will not come up in the first resurrection at the second coming, because they're not old enough. They are not old enough to enter into consecration for the priesthood. Because if you remember in the Old Testament, a man could not enter the priesthood until 30 years of age. So these children, they have not really entered into covenant, not made a free will informed choice. So I feel that these children will be resurrected. Righteous parents will meet their children at the great resurrection of the eighth day, along with all of those who died without making a fully informed consent, or with all of those who just never knew about the Lord and His Son. And if you think about it, these children will grow up in a wonderful kingdom where they can play with tame animals and nothing will hurt them, and Christ will be available to heal any injuries or any diseases. Not that we would have any diseases by that time, but you understand what I mean. They will grow up in a wonderful environment, a wonderful kingdom. And those parents who have gone before and entered the process, the consecration for the priesthood, it says with the Lord, 1,000 years is as a day, so maybe we won't even be aware of the passage of time. We won't feel like we're missing them for 1,000 years. Next question was, will more offspring be conceived by those raised at the eighth day? Well, we're talking about two groups here. We're talking about those raised at the second coming who go on to be consecrated as priests, and we're talking about the second group, those raised at the eighth day who have mortal bodies. If we're talking about the first group, those raised from the dead at the second coming, Christ said that they will not marry, but will be like the angels of God in heaven. Well, as far as we know, the angels of God in heaven are not sexual beings. They do not reproduce. So if we're going to be like the angels, we're going to have spiritual bodies, then to me, I would assume that we would not reproduce. We understand from the ancient prophetic types that childbirth, sexual intercourse, menstruation, or even the emission of semen rendered one unclean. That's Leviticus 12, verse 1 to 8, Leviticus 15, verse 18, Ezekiel 36, verse 17, Leviticus 15, verse 19 to 21, Leviticus 20, verse 18, Leviticus 15, verse 16 and verse 32, and Deuteronomy 23, verses 10 and 11, for those of you who have this in MP3 and no other format. You can play back these references and write them down. The unclean Israelite could not come into the courtyard of the sanctuary, much less into the sanctuary itself, They could not participate in any feast until he or she had completed the ceremony for cleansing with the washing and the required offerings. To do so was a death penalty offense against God. That person would be cut off from the people. So if everything to do with sexuality and reproduction and giving birth made a person unclean so far as entering into the temple courtyard or the temple itself, then I think the weight of those passages falls towards no further conception, at least by those given the new spiritual bodies like the angels. Now, concerning those raised at the eighth day with mortal bodies. So, in this scenario, we would have to say that if a believing, committed woman died while pregnant, that she would have to come up at the great resurrection at the start of the eighth day because of her infant, her fetus, so that that baby could be born then into the kingdom at the eighth day. Concerning whether or not these people at the eighth day continue to conceive more infants. You know, it seems logical that a continuing addition of infants exposed to sin, because there's still going to be some sin in this eighth day kingdom. People are deciding. Satan has been released. He is seeking to deceive. A continual addition of infants would require a continual forever extension of probationary time with the possibility of sin and death. And I just don't see that. I don't see that. I see that everyone who is committed to the Lord during the eighth day, every one of those people will eventually receive an immortal spiritual body. They will be changed, invited to enter into the city. And the mortals will be on the outside of the city, at least when they come up to attack it at the Gog-Magog battle. So I don't see a continuing conception, but that's just me. That I'm just giving you my opinion. I know someone's going to ask me about terminated pregnancies, and I'm going to just simply say, I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to make the decisions about those pregnancies, and we'll just leave them to God. We know that He is just. There will be death during this eighth day kingdom. Isaiah 65:20 says, no more babies will die in infancy. No more will an old man die short of his days. He who dies, see, there's your death. He who dies at 100 will be thought young, and at less than 100 thought accursed. Why would someone die in this kingdom? Why would someone die? Well, what does it mean for us to rule the nations with a rod of iron unless it includes enforcement? Unless it includes the possibility of the death penalty? Christ can heal or restore to life one who dies in an accident or one who's murdered by another, but I don't believe He's going to resurrect one who is executed for murder. The reason why there can be death in this eighth day kingdom of Messiah is because those raised after the 1,000 years, who live again after the 1,000 years, so this is the eighth millennium, the eighth day kingdom, those people who are raised at that great resurrection will be mortal. They will have mortal human bodies, not immortal spiritual bodies. Therefore, they can die. They can die. And some will die, especially all those who come up trying to overthrow Christ at Jerusalem in the Gog-Magog battle. They will definitely die. Now, I want to explain something that to me, oh, it took me so long to realize this. I remember I was sitting at a Super Salad with a friend of mine, and I was really lamenting the fact that I wasn't perfect. And I said to him, well, doesn't God keep his promises? His promise in Ezekiel is that he'll put his spirit within me and cause me to walk in his statutes. I mean, why do I still sin? Why do I covet? Why am I selfish? Why am I impatient? Why am I inconsiderate? Why do I still do these things? Why do I think this way? I have claimed the promise. I've prayed my heart out. I don't understand. And my friend sighed, and he just looked at me like, oh, Rach, he said, read the context. Read the context. So I went back, got out my Bible, read the context, and of course it says that he will bring us back to the land, bring Israel back to the land, and then he will make a new covenant with them. And he will put his spirit within us. So I want to go over some of these references to the new covenant, trying to give you a really firm grasp of the timing here. Matthew 26:28, Christ speaking, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Luke 22:20, likewise he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. 1 Corinthians 11:25, this is Paul referring back to this Last Supper, Last Passover. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Hebrews 8:8, because finding fault with them, that is with Israel, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, when will he make this new covenant? The answer is not until redeemed Israel is brought back to the land. That's Ezekiel 26:23-26. And when are they brought back to the land? The eighth day. Hebrews 8:13, in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. See, it should be translated, he is making the first obsolete. He's making it. Because he continues on, now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. In other words, it hasn't vanished yet. In Paul's day, that original covenant was becoming obsolete. It was growing old, but it hasn't vanished yet. It vanishes only after that law is written on the heart. And all of redeemed Israel are completely changed. And the law written in the heart now is lived out in the life without any effort, without any thought. See, the Apostle Paul believed that the return of Christ was imminent. Every apostle believed that. You know, I come quickly. Well, 2,000 years to us doesn't seem very quick. They were wrong, yes. And Christ didn't correct their error. He didn't want them to go back to their fishing nets and go back to their farms, which they might have done if he had told them that he wouldn't be back for another 2,000 years. It would have taken the wind right out of their sails. So when you read the Bible, realize that every apostle believed it was imminent. In the eternal kingdom, no one will say to his brother, "Know the Lord," because they will all know him. In fact, it says the ark will not even be remembered or come to mind. He's not going to have to post the rules, the 10, on the wall somewhere. It won't be read out loud every 7 years, because it's already written on the heart of every citizen. Jeremiah 3, verse 16. In those days, when your numbers have greatly increased in the land, declares the Lord, people will no longer say, "The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord." It will never enter their minds or be remembered. It will not be missed, nor will another one be made. Wow. Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 33. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. But you see, it is his law that he's going to write in our minds. It's not something new that we've never heard of before. It's not something where he just says, "Well, just love everybody and love the Lord, but you know, you don't have to come up and worship me anymore. Just love everybody. Just think love. That's enough." No, no. He's going to write his law. You know, the Ten Commandments. No one will even consider lying, stealing, cheating. And as for adultery, well, we're married to Yeshua. And we wouldn't even consider adultery, meaning worshiping another God. And Sabbath, Isaiah 66 says we're going to come up and worship the Lord at every new moon and every Sabbath. And we're going to keep at least the Feast of Tabernacles. We know that. That one is spelled out. And Jesus said that he would keep the Passover new with us in the Father's kingdom. So, the law that he will write on our hearts is the same one he wrote on the tables of stone. Here's the verse in Jeremiah 31:34. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. So see, we don't need teachers anymore, which means we don't need priests anymore, because we don't need priests to settle disputes. We don't need them to teach the law. And so the role of the priesthood would be changed. Or there may just not be any priests after the eighth day, because now everyone belongs to God. No one needs a buffer anymore of a tabernacle. They can come directly before God's throne. That's why in the New Jerusalem, there's no temple there. Hebrews 9:15. And for this reason, he's the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. He's the mediator of the new covenant. He will bring about the new covenant. How will he bring about the new covenant? By his death. See, we're still under the first covenant. It has not yet become obsolete. It is growing old. It is about to pass away. It will pass away when the eternal kingdom comes in. But right now, we're still under the first covenant. We just have a new remedy for the transgressions. That new remedy is Christ. The transformation of the redeemed is a process. You could say the new covenant began with the death of Jesus Christ, but really it won't be realized until the kingdom of Yeshua Messiah on earth, and that's at the eighth day. The death of Yeshua would bring about this full realization of the new covenant. Ezekiel 36, verse 23 to 36, I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord. See, here's these nations living around Israel, living in the earth at the same time Israel redeemed is living on the earth, is back in the land. The nations shall know that I'm the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then, it happens then. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people and I will be your God. There it is. There it is. The new covenant. Where he writes his law in our hearts. Perfectly. It will not be accomplished until all of redeemed Israel is returned to the land. So please don't be discouraged day to day if you mess up, because we're not yet in the land. I've heard the expression so many times, well, I'm a new covenant Christian. And they say this because they don't want to keep the Sabbath, usually. They want to believe that the Ten Commandments no longer apply. We just need to love the Lord and love our neighbor, and that's all, they say. But to them, it's just love in the mind. It's not really love in action. Because if you love the Lord, if you really love the Lord, then you'll show up and commune with Him and rest when He said to rest. You'll do what He said if you really love Him. You know, these Christians do recognize that the Ten Commandments were the covenant originally made with Israel. But they don't seem to realize that they themselves are Israelites. They don't seem to comprehend that they are Israelites. And because they are Israelites, they need to keep the covenant with Israel. They don't seem to realize that the Lord has promised to write that very same law that, you know, that Israel in the past couldn't keep because they didn't have the Spirit writing it on their heart. He's going to write that very same law on the heart of every redeemed Israelite. The Ten Commandments were written on tablets of stone to represent the hearts of the people, which were hard as stone. They couldn't keep the law in their own strength, no matter how much they wanted to. Not until we receive new hearts and the Lord writes His law on those hearts can we perfectly keep the law. You know, that is circumcision of the heart. That is the real circumcision of the heart. And just as in ancient Israel, newborn Israelites were not circumcised until the eighth day. So it makes perfect sense that we will not experience the perfect circumcision of the heart until the eighth day. Even the first covenant had, past tense, ordinances of divine service. This is the writer of Hebrews speaking in Hebrews 9, verse 1. The first covenant had ordinances of divine service. And then the author describes the tabernacle, the articles in the tabernacle, and especially the Day of Atonement ceremony performed by the high priest. And then he continues, Hebrews 9, verse 8 to 10. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all, meaning heaven itself where God is, was not yet made manifest. In other words, it wasn't revealed while the first tabernacle was still standing. It means while the first tabernacle still had standing. See, that tells you that it no longer has standing, that first tabernacle, those ceremonies with the first tabernacle. They were symbolic. They were symbolic for that time. They brought gifts, sacrifices, all those things which could not make the person who offered them perfect in regard to the conscience. That remained for the eighth day when the Messiah, Yeshua Messiah, will perfectly circumcise our hearts. The old symbolic remedy, the sacrifices, the grain offerings, the drink offerings, all those things that were done in the tabernacle, the old symbolic remedy for violation of the covenant, the Ten, was replaced by Messiah, the perfect Lamb, the perfect priest, the one who mediates for us before the throne of God in heaven. Hebrews 7, verse 12 says, "For the priesthood being changed, Of necessity, there is also a change of the law. I have heard Messianic teachers, I mean, very, very sincere, very devout men. I don't want to be putting anybody down. I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge of their conscience, certainly. And they are sincere in their beliefs, just as I am sincere in mine. I have heard them teaching that the change that has happened is only to throw out the Pharisaical laws, the additional laws written by the Pharisees. It was those additions that were thrown out. And then you have evangelical Christianity saying, oh no, the entire law has been thrown out. But if you just read the book of the Hebrews, he explains what has changed. He says right here, the priesthood being changed. The priesthood's been changed. Wow. So we now have Yeshua Messiah as our priest, our high priest, but our priest. He mediates before God on our behalf. He has become our sacrifice. We don't need an animal anymore. He's our sacrifice. We have the perfect sacrifice. We have a temple. Where's our temple? Heaven itself. We present ourselves to the priest, to Yeshua. We present a sacrifice. Yeshua is now our sacrifice. And we are being circumcised in heart. And we will be circumcised in flesh when our old fleshly bodies are gone and we have a new spiritual body. It's the only way we can inherit the kingdom, because it says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. I mean, either you throw out the book of Hebrews as uninspired or you deal with it. The law has been changed. What has been changed? The priesthood. If you change the priesthood, then you have just eliminated the sacrifice of animals. I think the Lord allowed that temple to be destroyed. It was his message to us that temple no longer has any standing before God. If they build another one, if they construct a third temple on that mount, and they supposedly consecrate a priesthood for that temple, to me, that is going against God. Yeshua is our priest. He's our only priest. Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 32. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to or not like the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them. The new covenant will not be like the Sinai covenant. The Israelites had to keep that covenant in their own human strength, and they failed. The sacrificial law provided a way to come back to at-one-ment with Yahweh. The new covenant provides divine spiritual healing, fullness of his spirit without measure. Oh. Ezekiel 36:27. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my judgments and do them. Jeremiah 31:33, this is my covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I'll put my law, in their minds and write it on their hearts. The point is that it is the same law, and the heart of that law is the Sabbath. That's when we will go up to worship before the Lord. That's when we will see Him, sing to Him, praise Him from one Sabbath to another. This audio teaching will be shorter than the others. It is just an addendum to cover a few special issues. I pray that you really are getting a lot out of these studies. I need to hear from you, from more of you. Tell me if these lessons have been a blessing to you. It's so easy to send us an email through the website. I mean, we're not going to put you on any sort of list or anything. We just like some feedback, that's all. We appreciate it so much. And if there's something I can do to make an improvement, then by all means tell me. Let me know. Tell me I didn't get that, or I didn't think you explained that clearly, or why did you say this or that or the other thing? You know, I'm doing this addendum because people sent me questions. Shalom and blessings. Remember us in your prayers. We appreciate it so much.